Don't tell me what you value. Show me your budget, and I'll tell you what you value.
I'm Annie Reese. This is Politico Dispatch.
Well, the budget I'm releasing today sends a clear message to the American people that we value.
On Monday, President Joe Biden released his administration's new budget proposal, basically a wish list of items sent for congressional approval. It included increases in domestic investments like affordable housing, infrastructure, and a big boost in military funding. To pay for it, Biden proposed increasing taxes on the rich and corporations, especially a new minimum tax on the richest Americans, those with a household income of $100 million or more. Or, as some people put it,
President Biden's budget puts a bullseye on billionaires as a way to bring down the deficit.
A firefighter and a teacher pay more than double the tax rate that a billionaire pays. That's not right. That's not fair. And my budget contains a billionaire minimum tax because of that.
I think I'm recording.
This is reporter Brian Failer.
I guess my title is senior tax reporter at Politico. I cover taxes.
Today, a closer look at just one of the elements of Biden's budget, the proposed wealth tax.
So this is a new proposal from the administration to go after the richest of the rich. Mm-hmm. And it follows in the footsteps of proposals that we've seen before from Elizabeth Warren and Ron Wyden by taxing not just their income, but their assets, their things that they have but haven't sold, which normally is not part of the tax system. Normally, when you sell a stock, for example, you don't pay taxes on it until mm-hmm. it's sold. They want to change that so that it would be taxed each year, regardless of whether there's a sale.
So how would this work?
Well, it's essentially a 20% minimum tax that would be based on both their income, what is normally considered their income, and their unrealized gains in assets. And that would include things like stock portfolios. And so if Jeff Bezos, for example, didn't pay 20% between his income and his Amazon stock holdings, he would have to pay the difference at tax time. Mm-hmm. And then there's sort of complicated rules and how it would deal with refunds and some of these other things, that the details of which we're actually just getting this afternoon. So we're still diving into the specifics of how this has worked. But that's generally what they're going for here.
And historically, why has it been so hard to pass plans taxing the rich?
Well, I mean, this would be a new direction for the tax system. I mean, we do have a progressive tax system. The most taxes are paid by the wealthy. The issue that they're trying to get at here is the people at the tippy top of the income spectrum who can avoid paying taxes by doing things like borrowing against stock holdings. So instead of selling a stock, you borrow against it, and you can potentially eliminate your tax bill with that. But in general, the wealthy do pay high taxes. I mean, we have a progressive system in the United States.
I know this is very early to say yet, but this is headed to Congress. What might we see in terms of reaction there?
I think a lot of this is aimed at Joe Manchin.
Who trying to appease him.
That's right. Who has, you know, bollocks a lot of what they've hoped to do, but who's signaled recently some openness to maybe reviving some sort of spending plan focused on environmental tax incentives and reducing the deficit. This would be one way of paying for it, although, you know, Congress has considered these ideas before and these were rejected by rank and file lawmakers. So it'll be a challenge to get people to change their minds on this approach.
You mentioned Manchin. He was basically responsible for killing Build Back Better. Do you have any sense of where he'd be on this?
You know, I'm not sure how Joe Manchin would feel about this. He's made noises sort of in both directions on this. So I don't know exactly what he would think about this. He said things in the past about wanting minimum taxes on the very wealthy. But he's also talked about how he doesn't want to target the wealthy. So it's been sort of confusing last time this came up where he stands. And I don't know what he would think of this.
Yeah. So how likely is this wealth tax to be adopted? I mean, as you said, problem A is that this is a budget proposal, so essentially like a wish list for Congress. And problem B is, as you laid out, wealth taxes have kind of a poor track record of being passed.
There's a couple ifs here. I mean, can they revive their reconciliation plan to begin with? They had a slate of pay-fors for that, and they don't necessarily need this proposal, depending on what exactly they do. And then one of the issues that came up when Congress previously considered proposals from Wyden and Elizabeth Warren was that these ideas were too new, that people felt like it was a lot to digest at the last minute of negotiations, because these don't look like ways in which the tax system normally works. And people felt like it was a lot to just throw in at the end and people to have to try to absorb and understand and decide whether they could support.
So why is now the right time then?
You would have to ask the administration. this is part of their budget. Manchin has signaled that maybe he's willing to revive some of this stuff. So maybe that's what's driving some of this. Yeah, I mean, they still have hopes of reviving the reconciliation plan. And this proposal is designed to address some of the questions and some of the problems that some people had with previous wealth tax-ish proposals. So, yeah.
So in the coming days and weeks, like, what are you most interested in here? What are you going to be looking out for?
The main question here is, you know, can this get traction this time? It didn't get a lot of traction last time. The House didn't like it. Some members of the Senate didn't like it. Is it going to be different this time? You know, are people any more amenable to this? We don't know. We don't know because it just came out and, you know, I don't think a lot of people saw this coming. So we'll see if this gets any more traction in Congress.
Okay. So briefly, could you just help put this into perspective for me? It doesn't seem likely to get passed and there's still a lot that we don't know. But if it does, why would a wealth tax like this be such a big deal?
Well, it's an entirely new way of taxing people. To tax their unrealized gains is just something that the tax system doesn't do. So it would be sort of analogous to if, and this is not what they're proposing, but this is sort of an analogy. Like if you own a home and the value of your home goes up by $50,000 in a year, under a proposal like this, you would be taxed on that, even if you didn't sell your house. And that's a very different way of taxing people. And that's not what Democrats are proposing. They're not proposing taxing regular people in this fashion, but it's analogous to what they're proposing for the very rich. They're proposing a tax what are essentially paper gains. You know, it's not money that they actually have in their hand. It's money on paper that they have, but, you know, maybe next year it's gone. You know, maybe the value of their stock crashes the next year. And there's complicated rules for dealing with that. I don't want it to sound like Democrats are proposing to tax average people on the appreciation and the value of their home, because they're definitely not doing that. But that's sort of, I'm just trying to like explain like what the analogy would be for tax, because unrealized gain sounds very like normal people don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But they know like their house becomes more valuable or less valuable. It becoming more valuable is an unrealized gain.
So this, well, and maybe you don't know this yet because, as you've said, it's pretty early, but was this sort of received as a shock to the system for billionaires?
It just came out, so we don't know what the reaction is going to be yet. But, I mean, it's sort of a rehash of what we went through with the Elizabeth Warren and Ron Wyden proposals. I mean, people have seen these ideas before and debated them. So in the sense, it's not surprising because we've already had this debate. What is surprising is we're going to have this debate again. But the substance of the debate we've had previously, if that makes sense.
Brian Fehler, thank you so much for talking with me.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Also in the news, Poland's deputy prime minister said the country will continue to accept Ukrainian refugees as long as it's needed, but stressed that the main priority for both Poland and the rest of the Western alliance should be to help Ukraine defend itself. Over the past month, Poland has taken in 2.3 million refugees from Ukraine, more than any other European country. And on Monday, Governor Ron DeSantis signed a controversial state bill branded Don't Say Gay by LGBTQ advocates. DeSantis faced intense pressure from Florida and beyond to veto the proposal. But amid the waves of criticism, DeSantis and Republican lawmakers refused to back away from the legislation and have joined other GOP-leaning states in passing measures aimed at restricting how students are taught about sexual orientation, gender, and race. Today's episode of Politico Dispatch included music composed by the mysterious Brickmaster Cylinder. Be sure to follow Politico Dispatch if you haven't yet, and if you can, leave us a rating and review. It helps more people find the show. I'm Annie Reese. Thanks so much for listening.